Hey there, listeners. Thank you for taking time out of your week to listen in today. We're so glad you're here and are praying this message helps you. We also want to make sure you know about our latest podcast called the Anything's Possible Podcast. We've created it specifically with you in mind because we engage in deep conversations with people who are making both an impact here at our church and all around the city of Nashville. We believe everyone has a story to tell, a step to take, and that with Jesus, anything's possible. So make sure to subscribe today to the Anything's Possible podcast. You'll find it wherever you get your podcast. Okay, let's get you back to why you're here. Here's the latest message from Cross Point Church.
And hallelujah, find the glory. Hallelujah, amen.
That's a Hebrew word that comes from two Hebrew words, which means to praise God. And to raise a hallelujah means, God, I'm going to praise you regardless what I'm facing in my life. And to praise is a choice that we make, and it's a powerful choice, especially when we're suffering. And if you've been alive in 2020, you know something of suffering in your life, like we all do. But you know what I wish? I wish I could walk with you through that room where that team was singing today, and you could hear their stories. If you hear their stories, then you know. Kylie, that was singing that last song, she can sing, but it's been much more than that. She's battled through cancer over this past year, but she's raising a hallelujah. Or Nick, who's playing the keys, he's a Metro police officer. He's a great man. It's been a difficult 4 months. Then Janae, person of color, navigating the racial tensions in our country. It's been painful. But I love that she's raising her hallelujah next to Nick. I mean, what a picture of the body of Christ. And then you got Sednick and Mary Beth and Tyler and Monty. They've all got their stories too. And it's a tough time to be a musician in Music City right now. There's suffering in that, but they're still praising God. In Romans, it tells us that we glory in our suffering because suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint. And when we praise God in our suffering, it's a megaphone of hope to the world. And God uses suffering in our lives to form Christ in us, to make us more like Jesus. God never wastes our suffering. For many of us, a gym is a place of suffering. It's the only place that we choose to suffer. And Rhea and I, we've wanted a home gym for years. Back in January, a friend from Atlanta texted us and said, "Hey, I've got some extra workout equipment. You can have it if you want it." So I headed south, and I packed up a U-Haul, and we got what we needed to start a garage gym. Welcome to the gym. And now that was February. And in March, the world shut down. I mean, gyms shut down. Kettlebells and dumbbells went on the black market. I mean, it was like impossible to get gym equipment. And we were like the only people who had a gym. Like in our neighborhood, we started this little neighborhood gym. We had college kids coming over to work out and neighborhood friends coming over at all times of day to throw weight around. And it was awesome. I mean, it was incredible until one day it occurred to me that they kept calling me sir. They'd say, "Yes, sir, Mr. Queen. Yes, sir. No, sir." And that's when I realized, like, they don't see me as I see me. I mean, I thought I was one of them, but they saw me as the old man. And then I started thinking, I feel like an old man. that the weight was just heavier than it used to be, and I'm a little heavier than I used to be. Thank you, quarantine. And I'm slower than I used to be. And I notice that I make noises when I bend over. And that's just to tie my shoes. And it just reminds me of this verse that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. It says, therefore we do not lose heart. You can't lose heart. It says, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Outwardly, being wasted away. We're wasting away outwardly. If you're over 40, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, gravity sets in and weight starts shifting around and hair starts disappearing some places and showing up in random places. And like, if you're in your 20s right now, you're listening to me and you have no idea what I'm talking about. You think, there's no way I'm gonna get old like you, old man. You just wait. One day, you'll be at the gym and you'll bend down to tie your shoes and you'll grunt like a walrus. Or some kid will say, yes, sir, or no, ma'am, to you. And you're going to remember this moment, that outwardly we're wasting away, but inwardly we're being renewed day by day. So what does that mean? Like, what does it mean to be inwardly renewed? It means we keep growing on the inside. It means we're growing in character and heart and spirit. And inward renewal is becoming like Christ. It's growing in Christ-likeness, and that's spiritual maturity. Outwardly, I'm wasting away, but inwardly, I'm being renewed day by day. And outward wasting away is inevitable. It's going to happen for all of us, but inward renewal is optional. It's a choice that we make. Listen, we live in a culture that's obsessed with trying to slow the outward wasting away. I mean, there's all kinds of tips and techniques and programs to help you get in shape, but let's just be honest. Like, in a pandemic, abs don't matter as much as they used to. In crisis, we'd rather have peace than abs. Now, if peace and abs are a choice, I'll take that. But at my age, you have to give up waffle fries for abs, and ain't nobody got time for that. Outwardly, we're wasting away. But inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. He says day by day. Here's what he says, it's a daily thing. Like, it's a choice we make. Just like to go to the gym, it's a choice that we make. And I found that if the gym is in the garage, it's easier to make that choice, right? If we hit the gym, we want to make gains. If we want to make gains in inward renewal, like, what do we do? That's what I want to talk about today. How do we have that inward renewal? And to get there, we're going to look at Colossians chapter 1. Now, if you've been following along with us, we've been reading through Colossians together. And I want you to remember, Paul is in prison when he's writing this. Outwardly, he's wasting away. He's in chains. He's on death row for preaching the gospel. He's dying on the outside, but he's alive on the inside. And he's writing to the believers at Colossae, and he's encouraging them to experience the life of God. He's telling them what's going on around you in the world doesn't affect what's happening. It doesn't hold back the spiritual renewal, the life of God inside of you. He's encouraging them towards spiritual maturity. That's what we're going to look at today, Colossians chapter 1. So I encourage you to pick up there in verse 24. Let's look at it together. Read along. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I've become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. And I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and I delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. Man, love that. Paul said, I want to present you to Christ fully mature. He's like, I want you complete. I want you fully mature. I want you strong on the inside. I want you knowing Jesus and living with integrity and loving deeply and living out your calling and fulfilling your destiny and your purpose in life. He's like, I want you to walk so close to God that when you take your last breath here on earth and your first breath in heaven, you're like, oh, there you are. You just pick up spiritually where you left off in this relationship with God. None of us want to get to the end of our lives here on this earth and find out that we remained spiritual infants, that we remained infants spiritually, that we put all kind of emphasis on the outer world, but we neglected our inner world. We neglected the part of us that is eternal. And so how do you grow strong on the inside? How do you make gains when it comes to the part of you that lasts? How do you have peace in a pandemic? How do you experience daily inner renewal? I'm glad you asked. And Paul, he gives us a secret. Have you ever wanted to know, like, the secret? Like, somebody drops 50 pounds or gets, you know, yoked, or they get all ripped up, and you want to know, like, how'd you do it? Like, that's the question people ask. What's the secret? Instagram and YouTube ads, they know this. They capitalize on our desire to want to know the secret. And remember, Gnosticism, what was the heresy that was being taught there? They were all about secrets. They thought that there was this special secret wisdom or special knowledge or superior wisdom for this exclusive group of people. Remember, they denied the deity of Christ. And they love secrets. And Paul is saying, you like secrets? Like, I got one for you. Come here. Bring it in close. I got a secret for you. Here's a secret. It's Christ in you. He says, Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. Generations have longed for this secret, have longed to know this, and it's available right now for you. He said, the moment you put your faith in Christ, in that moment, God's Spirit comes and lives in you. God dwells in you. He doesn't live in a building that you have to go to. He lives in you. If you are in Christ, if you've trusted Him, you don't have to chase God. He's in you. He's not out there to be found. He's in you. Christ, the hope of glory. If I'm getting excited about this, it's because it's exciting, the God of all creation. Generations have longed to know this. Ages have longed to find this, and Christ lives in us. Paul's saying, this is the hope of glory. It's the only hope we have. It's the only hope of freedom. It's the hope of peace. It's the hope of courage. It's the hope of confidence. It's the hope of overcoming addiction and the patterns in our thinking that take us out. It's Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. And I'm getting a workout in the gym today. It's God's power, but it still requires time and effort. Listen. If you want to make gains in the gym, the formula is effort over time. It's effort over time. It's putting in effort day by day, effort over time, every day, doing things to make gains. Now listen, if you want to make gains spiritually, it's effort over time, but it's multiplied by grace. That's God's power. So it's Christ in you. And listen, it sometimes seems weird for us to put effort with grace, but effort is not opposed to grace. It's opposed to earning, okay? Earning is an attitude. Effort is action. And when we put forth effort over time, multiplied by God's power, which is Christ in you, that will lead to spiritual renewal every single day. That's the secret. Now, where do we put the effort? Well, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna give you three gains and how you get them. Three gains that lead to spiritual renewal. Now, the first one is we gain strength through suffering. If you're writing down, we gain strength through suffering. Now, we don't like this one because we don't like suffering. And in our culture, in our world, we resist suffering. We run from suffering. The world tells us do anything but suffer, escape it, pop pills, throw back bottles, entertainment, sex, food, anything we can do to medicate the pain. We live in a broken, fallen world where there is no escaping suffering. Suffering is inevitable. We're all going to suffer. And suffering reveals our need for God. Listen, those places in our lives where we thought we were powerful, we thought we were in control, suffering reminds us that our lives are in the hands of another. And we realize our need for God, our need for grace. And we can't escape suffering, but God wants us to know that we can invite Him into our suffering. Psalm 34, it says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. that he saves those who are crushed in spirit. This means when you suffer, whether it's sickness or loss or heartache or disappointment or temptation or betrayal or abandonment, or you go through rejection or loneliness or fractured relationships, financial hardship or virtual schooling, or D, all of the above, God is with you. Even better, Christ in you. It's Christ in you that's the hope of glory, the strength to endure. And listen, Jesus never ran from sin or suffering in this world. In fact, he stepped into the sin and suffering. He runs toward us in our suffering, and he runs to you. And James, what James tells us, he says, consider it pure joy when you face all kinds of trials, many kinds of trials, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance finishes work. It finishes work in us so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. And what the scripture tells us is it's through suffering that leads to perseverance that brings on maturity, strength in our lives. But if we want to make gains on the inside, we have to do what my friend R.T. Kendall says. He says you have to dignify the trial, which means that when we suffer, when we go through hardship, when we go through hard times, we invite God into it and we ask God, what do you want to teach me through this? How do you want to form Christ in me? I need peace. I need power. I need guidance. I need grace. I need provision. I need to not throw my kids' Chromebook for virtual schooling through the window, right? Listen, whatever you're going through, Christ will see you through. And you can experience his goodness in any trial. Man, last week, my mom says she talked with her Uncle Hoyle. He's 92 years old. But because of COVID, he's only been out of the house one time in the past 5 months. I mean, just imagine, one time in the last 5 months. He was married to his wife, Sue, for 65 years. And in her final years, he cared for her with Alzheimer's and dementia. He's a wonderful man. His son, Hoyle, and his wife, Angela, they check in on him every day, and they bring him meals multiple times a day. But other than that, it's just him in the house. And he is a deeply spiritual man. He loves Jesus. And he said to my mom, he said, Joni, God has been so good to me. And then he stopped. And he said, Joan, God is good to me. Did you catch that? Present tense. That's God's character. See, Uncle Hoyle's not alone in that house. It's Christ in him. Christ in him, the hope of glory. And if I live to be 92, I want to be like that, inwardly renewed day by day. And Paul, he was locked down. He's in prison. And you remember in verse 24, he says, now I rejoice in what I'm suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in Christ's afflictions. What's he saying there? He's not saying that the cross was insufficient for our salvation. When Jesus said, it is finished on the cross, it was finished. It was done completely. What's lacking is not the definition. What's lacking is the demonstration for this generation. Paul is saying, when the world sees me suffer for Christ and Christ in me, it sees a fresh revelation of the gospel. See, the problem is we want Jesus to do all the suffering. And Paul says, I embrace suffering. I don't run from it. I embrace it. Because it's through my suffering, it's the only way that some people are going to take note of the gospel. God will not waste your suffering. And it's a megaphone of hope for the world. And when we hold on to Christ in suffering, it matures us. It grows us. I was talking with Ree this past week. Went on a date night to a place called The Optimist. It's a new restaurant called The Optimist. That's a great name for a restaurant during a pandemic, right? And it's hard to be in a bad mood in a place called The Optimist. And it was our favorite spot in Atlanta, and they just opened up one in Nashville. And while eating there, we realized it had been 3 years since we moved from Atlanta. And we talked about that first year, and that first year was real hard. I mean, there's suffering attached to that, all the transition, all of the change, pressures, things that we felt, leaving family and friends for 40 years. And some of you have made a move recently, like you know firsthand. But as we talked about it, and we talked about how hard it was for our kids and for our family, Risa, she said, I wouldn't change a thing. She said, look at what God's done. Kevin, look how he's grown us. Look how he's grown our family. She said, it's been worth it. And there's a suffering that comes from following God's call on your life. Listen, there's also a suffering that comes from playing it safe. It's the suffering of regret. And I'll take the suffering that comes from obedience, because God gives grace for that. And there's a reward that comes for that. Listen, you don't have to move across state lines. You don't have to move to another state to suffer for the gospel. It might just mean walking across the street. It might just mean getting out of bed the next day and following God. It might mean walking across a parking lot or forgiving somebody or reconciling a relationship or just doing the last thing God told you to do. Listen, we don't chase suffering, but we don't run from it. We walk with God and know whatever suffering He allows in our life, He is good, and He's going to give us the grace to endure it, and we're going to grow on the inside, and we'll make gains. The second way we make gains, and this is going to be a little bit shorter than the first one, so don't get nervous, right? The second way we make gains is we gain wisdom through His Word. Listen, spiritual maturity isn't as much about like all the Bible knowledge that you take in. It's how you live what you know. That's wisdom. Listen, we live in a culture that is drowning in information, but starving for wisdom. We got a generation that has a phone tethered to their hand, but their hearts are saying, somebody show me how to live. Somebody show me how to live with creativity and honor and love and heart and discernment and freedom. Show me how to live. And the Gnostics, they taught that wisdom is just for like the select few, but Paul is saying, no. God's wisdom is for everyone. Remember in chapter 2, verse 3, he says that it's in Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He's saying it's found in Christ. Wisdom is found in Jesus. Jesus is wisdom personified. He's the book of Proverbs with skin on, right? No one wiser than Jesus. And wisdom is not hidden from you in Jesus. It's hidden for you in Jesus. Like Easter eggs. When I'd hide Easter eggs for my kids, I wouldn't put them in places where they had no chance of finding them. I put them in places they could find them. They just had to look for them. Maybe even like get on their knees to find them. And if I told you that there was $100 taped under your chair where you're sitting right now, maybe you'd look. Some of you are looking right now, right? You think maybe under the sofa. Now there might be some change in the sofa, but I would be surprised if there was $100. But some of you look because you're curious. And listen, sacred curiosity leads us to search. And Paul is stirring up this sacred curiosity. He's saying what you're looking for is found in Jesus. Wisdom on how to live life right now is found in Jesus. And we find it by looking in His Word. Now, the beautiful thing is when you read the Word of God, you've got Christ in you. You're not reading it alone. Is Christ in you, the hope of glory? You are studying the book with the author present. You're doing a book club with the author. How cool is that? When you open up the Bible and you ask God, and I would encourage you, when you're reading through Colossians, ask God, God, would you teach me? Would you give me wisdom? Would you give me revelation? Would you help me understand? Would you show me how to live and watch the text come alive? Now, I don't remember what I ate last Tuesday for lunch, but I know it fed me. And I don't remember the workout that I did last Tuesday morning, but I know it changed me. It helped me. I don't always remember everything I read in the scripture, but I know it helps renew me day by day. And we're carrying these little computers in our pockets. We can read the Bible. We can read the scriptures. We can listen to them. I can have somebody read to me. We can study the Word. We got a Bible app that we can use. We can meditate on it. We can share it. We can listen to podcasts, listen to YouTube messages, listen to sermons. We can listen to the best Bible teachers in the world. And Romans 12 said, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what's the pattern of this world? Cynicism, fear, hopelessness, despair, insecurity, pride, self-centeredness. He said, don't be conformed into that little pattern, but be transformed by your mind being renewed. How does that happen? Through the scriptures. He said, then you will know what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. And people come to me all the time and they're like, Kevin, how do I know God's will in my life? Kevin, how do I know if it's God speaking? Well, one thing, we got to prioritize the good news over the world's news. And God wants to speak to you. He wants you to know His will. People ask me all the time, how do I know that it's God's voice? How do I know what God sounds like? I'll tell you what He sounds like. He sounds like this. When my mom called me the other day, I picked up the phone. I didn't, I didn't have to ask who it was. Well, my phone told me, but even if it didn't, I wouldn't have to ask. If she was calling from a different number, I would just know. I would know it's my mom. Like, I know her voice. It's been 43 years, but it's taken time. And in the same way, it's effort over time that you learn God's voice, Christ in you. It's the hope of glory. And then third, we make gains through encouragement through others. Like, if you really want to make gains in spiritual maturity, you can't fly solo. You need other people. See, Paul didn't write this letter. Remember, he didn't write this letter to a person. He wrote this letter to the church. It's meant to be read in community. Let me show you. In the scripture, he's writing to them. And if you look, chapter 2, verse 1, he says, I want you to know how hard I'm contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. Now, he's writing this to a group. We read you and we read it personally, but he's actually writing it to, it's plural. It would be better translated, I want y'all to know, right? I mean, that's a better translation. He's writing this to a group of people that they would know. And what does he say? That you would be encouraged in heart and united in love so that you may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. What's he saying? Paul's saying that spiritual growth comes from life together, from being encouraged in heart and united in love. Don't you want that? To be encouraged in heart? To be encouraged in heart means you actually put courage in somebody else's heart. Be united in love doesn't mean that we agree on everything. It means that we come together about what's most important. And we have a love that is greater than our differences. And this only happens in Christ. I mean, where else does this happen in the world? It only happens in Christ. In Christ-centered community. In that show alone, like, it makes for a great TV show. It's a great TV show. But it's not how you want to live. And if we're going to make gains spiritually, it's going to take other people. And Paul says, I'm contending for you. Like, that word, that's an Olympic athlete word. It's like straining. It's a workout kind of word. He's saying, I am working out on your behalf. I am training. This is not casual. I'm giving it everything I've got. I'm laying it all on the line. Christ's power is working through me. Let me ask you a question. Who are you contending for? Who are you contending for? Saying, I'm not giving up on you. I'm here with you. I want to help you grow. Listen, we grow in spiritual maturity when we contend for others. If you have teenagers, you know this. A sign of maturity in your teenagers is when they care for their siblings. And the same is true spiritually. Spiritually mature people care for their brothers and sisters in Christ. And you and I, we're in a place where we can be encouraged in heart and be united in love. And in our country, I don't know if we've ever needed it more. I don't know in my lifetime. I don't know. I'd have to ask Uncle Hoyle in his lifetime. But in my lifetime, I've never seen us more discouraged as a nation and more divided. And God's saying, I want you to have a place. I want you to have a people where you can be encouraged in heart and united in love. And God's strategy for bringing the kingdom of God up there, down here, bringing light in darkness are these pockets of hope scattered across our cities in living rooms and coffee shops and restaurants and parks where we sit in circles and the Christ in me ministers to the Christ in you and the Christ in you ministers to the Christ in them. And we encourage one another in heart and we're united in love. I got a picture of this last week. See, Sunday mornings look different for me these days. I get up early and I spend time with God and then I go for a run in the park. Then I hop on a prayer call with some staff and then I watch the service with my family in the living room. And I'll just say, there's some suffering attached to that. I miss the old, I do. And one day we'll gather back together again, but until then, like, there's some suffering in my heart. The other day I was finishing up the run and I was at the park and I've noticed over the past weeks is that there's this group of men that are there every single week, 10 to 15 men sitting in a circle in a pavilion, and they've been out there every week. And this past weekend, I was about to pull out of the park and I got this nudge to go check out and see what they were meeting for. And when I got back, they were gone. And I'm like, the one time I stopped, they're gone. And the lady at the pavilion said, are you looking for the group of men? And I said, yeah. She said, well, I had to kick them out to go to another pavilion because we're having a baby shower. And I was like, all right. And so, but now I got a mission. Now I got to go find this group. And so I'm on a wild goose chase, man. I'm trying to figure out. And so I'm driving. I drive over across the street to the other pavilion. And I walk up and I go up to the pavilion and I see the most random group of men. I mean, men in their 30s all the way to their 70s. And I could see these men. They brought their chairs, and some were still walking up with their chairs, folding chairs, camping chairs, wooden chairs, lawn chairs. They got all these random chairs, and they're sitting in a circle. And then when I walked up, one of the men, he came up to me. He said, "Pastor Kevin." And I found out that many of the men in this group were from the Bellevue campus, and they were having church. It's their small group. They're meeting together, and some of them have been meeting together for over 20 years. They were encouraged in heart, united in love. And you know, I started thinking about that group of men, just that mental picture that I took. You know, I don't think they make much of a football team. Not at all. But if you had eyes to see, like, they're an army. They're a band of brothers. They're a group of men who have been through battles together. And if you want to grow in spiritual maturity, you can't do it alone. Like, that's why we have groups, Crosspoint. We have virtual groups and we have in-person groups. Listen, whatever is best for you, but you can't expect to grow without others. If you want to make gains inwardly, you're going to need other people in your life. You're going to need to contend for other people, and you're going to need other people to contend for you. And so I'd encourage you to go to crosspoint.tv/groups and look for how you can take your next step, how you can find your group. If suffering leads to maturity, then this means 2020 gives us all a great shot at growing. Like, this could be the biggest growth year of your life. We wouldn't have chosen the suffering, but through the suffering, we can grow. It's gonna take time, and it's gonna take effort. But the secret is, it's God's power working in you. That's the secret. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'd love to pray with you. Can we pray together? Father, we're just gonna go ahead and receive that this is a year of growth. There's a lot of other people giving 2020 a lot of other names. God, we thank you that we do have the secret to making it through, and it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. So I pray for my brothers and my sisters right now who are listening. God, I pray that you would open up their eyes to see the beauty of that mystery, the glory of Christ in them. I pray that we would believe it and we would know it at the deepest levels. God, that it would reorder our mental map of how we see the world, how we see ourselves, how we see our suffering, how we see your word, and how we see life with other people. God, would you show us where you want us to apply effort by your grace? Would you show us where you want us to invest our time? God, I pray for those who just have a sense that it's time. It's time to turn their suffering over to you. They've been carrying it themselves, trying to figure it out in their own strength. God, I pray that you give them the grace to ask for prayer, to come to church tonight and ask for prayer, pastor, team, 5:00. Have someone pray with them. Just be their act of faith and saying, their effort in saying, God, I need you in my suffering. I pray for those who it's time to pick up your word. Lord, I pray that when they open up your word, Lord, that you would give them insight, that you would give them knowledge, that you would give them understanding, that you would help them see through your word the wisdom that they need to make decisions, to make gains, to be inwardly renewed. And then, God, I pray for those who need to take the step toward relationship with others. God, would you give them the courage to maybe do something uncomfortable? Holy Spirit, thank you that you're our comforter. Would you comfort them to take that next step? And God, I pray that they would find the friends that they need, that they would find others to contend for them, and they would find people for them to contend for. So God, would you give us the grace that in the time that we have, that we would make the effort to be inwardly renewed. And would we just bask in the glory, the truth, that Christ is in us, the hope of glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. You guys, I encourage you to take that next step, whatever it is, and however we can help you in that, we're with you. We'll see you next week as we take the next step in Colossians. See you next.